get to Ezekiel first. Ezekiel chapter 7. If you have a King James Bible tonight, would you say amen?
Amen.
I know I'm in that kind of church. I don't have to worry about that. If you don't, never mind. Never mind. Verse number 2, at the end of the verse, the Bible said, an end is come. The end is come. Verse number 3, now is the end come upon thee. Verse number 4, and mine eye shall not spare thee. Verse number 5, the Bible said, thus saith the Lord God, an evil, an only evil, behold, is come. Let's read verse 6 together aloud, shall we? An end is come, the end is come. It watcheth for thee, behold, it is come. I want you to go, if you would, please, to Philippians chapter 4. You say, what on earth does Philippians 4 have to do with Ezekiel 7? I just want you to see how I'll start the message tonight. God's a wonderful God. Amen.
Amen.
A wonderful God. Would you look, please, in Philippians chapter 4, and if you would, in verse number 18. The Bible said, let me find it myself. I'm in Ephesians, sorry about that. That's a sign of something, isn't it? Amen. Ephesians 4 and Philippians. That's still a sign of something. It's getting worse. Verse 18, Philippians chapter 4. But I have all and abound, and I am full. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Let's read this verse aloud together, verse 19. Ready? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Notice my God and all your need. I want to preach a message since we're the fourth day into the new year and our very first church service of the new year. I want to preach a message tonight with a question. How did you spend your year? How did you spend your year? Let's bow our heads, please. Ask God to help us. Father, bless, I pray. Use, I pray, this time. Lord, help me to preach with your presence and power. Thank you, Lord, for this great assembly. Lord, I don't count it lightly, the opportunity that I have, the responsibility I have, those and the preacher that graces this pulpit week after week. And thank you for his friendship. Thank you, dear God, for the power of God upon his life and this wonderful church. Lord, there's not very many churches like this anywhere in this country. And I pray you'll continue to bless them. Bless this message, I pray, on the first Sunday of the new year. In Jesus' name, amen. And you can be seated. The end has come. The Lord said, I have my eye upon you. But you can't do anything about 2014. What you did or didn't do is already in God's record books. I hope you applied yourself for the Lord. But if you didn't, God has given us grace enough to have a new year.
Amen.
Amen. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. And Paul said that he abounded. And he said that he had all, A-double-L, all. And then he said that my God shall supply all. How many of you believe that?
Yes,
all your need. I hope you understand that we have a personal God.
Amen.
Amen. Someone that cares about your need. Now, you may not get your want-tos taken care of, but you will, according to the Lord, get all of your needs met. You do believe that, don't you? All of your needs. Now, you may not think the way God would want you to think in some of your needs, but God will. The Bible said that he feels a great necessity, all your needs. The Bible said that he is a great helper because he's my God. He's your God. You don't have to worry about if he cares about you. He's not the God of all the masses, although he is, but he's the God of you. He cares about your needs. Not only that, my friend, he has a vast supply according to his riches. According to his riches. And the Bible says that he's heaven's channel. He said, in glory. by Christ Jesus. He has a vast supply, and it comes straight from heaven. By way of introduction, I just want to ask you a few questions tonight. How did you spend your year last year? And I hope you won't reproduce bad things and make the same mistakes that were wrong things last year. May I ask you, did you fill your year last year with worldly gratifications? Now listen to me very carefully. If there's one thing you need to set a good mark about, and that's to be in church every day this year. If we had a gauge, if we had some kind of mark to find out, or measurement to find out how many times that you serve the world over God, I wonder what it would be. The Bible does still say in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the Bible said the love of the Father is not in him. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 10, the Bible said, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present what? World. There's such an attraction. It's probable that more people serve the devil than do God. And it's probable that more Christians are more worldly than they are godly. And you and I need to turn that tide. You and I need to make sure that the worldly gratifications don't overcome our lives. Another way that maybe folks spend their time, and most of the world spends their time, and that's making money. I'm not against you having money, but I'm against you putting money first in your life for the wrong reasons. The Bible says in Psalm 49 in verse number 6, they trusted in their wealth. The Bible said, themselves, a multitude of their riches. They boast themselves of the multitude of their riches. Now, you and I may probably don't have anything like that to boast about. But just living for money is the curse of your life. It's the curse of your life. Another thing that would be that maybe folks did wrong in their 2014 year was unwise decisions. Notice the Bible said in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 15, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. When you try to make your decisions, are they godly decisions? When you try to decide what you want to do and make sure you do those things, do you have a counselor that you have in mind? Have you ever been to the pastor to ask what to do? Have you ever been to a multitude of counselors that are godlier than you to tell you what to do? The reason why so many people stay in trouble is because they don't have the multitude of counselors. And I'm not talking about somebody to tell you what you want to hear. I'm talking about somebody to tell you what the Bible says. Be careful, my friend, that you don't do what you want to do all the time. Unwise decisions. How about being ungrateful? 2015 ought to be a great year where we're thankful. Too many people never say thanks enough. Amen. I mean, we're an ungrateful generation. Romans 13 and 7, the Bible said, render tribute to whom tribute is due, honor to whom honor. Let me say this, my friend. If this last year was all about you, if getting where you needed to go in the will of God you think is the will of God for your life, it ended up all about you, then it wasn't the will of God. Amen. If all the things you have done in the past year ended up me, 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 my, I. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you that you're not in the will of God. Please be sure, my friend, that you find yourself grateful by saying, thank you, Lord, for helping me. Amen. And then, my friend, some people never have spiritual growth. There are more bad habits than good in their life. They're less separated at the end of the year than they were at the beginning of the year. They're less pure than they were when they started. They're less godly than they were when they started. The Bible said in 2 Peter 3 and 18, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Can you say an amen over the growth in your life? Can you be thankful for the spiritual growth in your life? Have there been less of God in your life? I would say 2015, that needs to make a change. Amen. What are you going to tell God when you stand before Him? Amen. You need to put Him first. And that leads me to the next thing. By way of introduction, maybe you had no stewardship in your life last year. Everybody here ought to be a faithful steward. You say, what are you talking about? Well, it could begin with your finances. Amen. Your tithe is something that you owe God. You don't own it. You don't have any title to it. It doesn't belong to you. A tithe is 10% of all your gross income, and it doesn't belong to you. It is a debt you owe God. Amen. So that tithe ought to be right here in the local church. In Malachi, he said, bring it into the storehouse. In 1 Corinthians, he said, on the first day of the week, make sure that you bring it to the storehouse. The storehouse in this day and age is the local assembly of God's people. It's called the church. Amen. We're not to forsake the assemblings of the church. So you ought to be faithful in making sure you bring your tithe. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, the Bible says. All the tithe. Now look, the local church was never meant to survive on the tithe alone. Amen. That's why he said bring your tithes and your offerings in. A tithe is a debt you owe God. A love offering or an offering is an expression of love above the tithe. You ought to give because you love God. Now, if you stole God's tithe last year, you need to make it up. Leviticus 30 says you need to make it up by adding 20%. Amen. So that's 10% of your tithe that you owe, and you owe 20% on top of that. That's 30%. Or you're cursed with a curse. You say, I didn't think it meant that much. It means a lot because God gave you the 90%. And he expected you to be a good steward over the 10%. Now, there's no question about it. You can't bargain with God. God said, give your tithe. Give it to the local church. And I would say to you, my friend, that if you do anything else with your tithe other than what God told you to do with it, then you're cursed with a curse. Now, in Texas, we don't give spankings, we give whoopings. Amen. That's right. But a whooping wears off. I know when you're a child and you get a whooping by mom or dad, you don't think it's ever going to wear off. You think you're dying at the moment you get a whooping. But it does wear off. But a curse never wears off until it's lifted. Amen. And the only way a tithe that has been stolen from God can have a curse lifted is, I believe, when you begin to make those tithes up to the Lord. Amen. Why does the bottom keep falling out of your life, spiritually, financially? Why do all the problems come in your life? And I'm sure everybody's going to have problems, but I'm talking about unnecessary problems. Things you don't really need to be going through. Spiritual things you ought to have taken care of in your life. Why is that? It's because you're not a good steward. I say to you, my friend, you don't have the right to buy dog food if you're not tithing. Amen. Some of you have more loyalty to your dog than you do God. Amen. You ought to turn that D-O-G to G-O-D. Amen. What are you going to do when you stand before God and God says, you know, I expect you to be a better steward of your tithe than your money? Well, I spent it on dog food. Or I spent it on cat food. Shame on us. Shame on us. 2015, we ought to put God first in our finances. Amen. I would say, my friend, that a lot of people last year had no service in their life. No service. I'm glad, my friend, we can serve God. Serving God. Some people serve God the wrong way. They come to church and act spiritual on Sunday, and then they go back out in the world, and you never know they were God's child. Amen. It's happening more and more and more. I love the way the young people dress here. You got to work at that. It's got to be a great mission in your life to have a wonderful family. But what is it like on Monday? What is it like on Tuesday and the rest of the week? So much of the world, they don't have God in their life. They drink their life away. Their God is lust and their God is iniquity. Ephesians 2:13, the Bible said, for it is God which worketh in you. Now, for him to work in you, God wants you to work out what's in you. It's God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. I don't know what all that verse means, but I like what it says. God works in me to will and do his good pleasure. I would say to all of us, we need to put him first in that area. Now, no matter how young or old you are, no matter how young or old you may be, there's one thing about this coming year, and that is it's brand new. It's brand new. If you're living and breathing, you ought to thank God for life and breath. But this year is not your year. This year is God's year. Amen. If you get a new car this year, take time to dedicate it to the Lord. If you get a new house this year, take time to dedicate it to the Lord. Amen. If you get a new business this year, take time to dedicate it to the Lord. If you get a raise in your salary, make sure you dedicate your raise and salary to the Lord. If anything good happens to you, you ought to be able to thank God for it. If anything bad happens to you, you ought to be finding ways to thank God for it. Let me give you three things tonight about how to spend your year. You with me tonight? Say amen. Number one, a good year is a measured year. Let me say it again. A good year is a measured year. That word measured means regulated. That word measured means careful. That word measured means considered. A measured year is when you decide nothing takes God's place. He's preeminent in my life. The Bible said in 1 Peter 5 and 10, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen you, and settle you." God expects some things out of us. Our life ought to be measured. In your calendar this year, every Sunday ought to be God's. That's true. You have no right to scratch off a Sunday and spend it the way you want to spend it. Amen. In your schedule this year, church ought to be first in your schedule. You ought to center everything else around church. Amen. I'm a preacher, but I did not marry the ministry. I married a wife. Amen. And my wife and my family come first. Those who know me know that best. If my family was failing today, I'd make sure I'd take time for my family. Listen to me very carefully. So many people put so many things above what God put first. You know what the oldest institution is on earth? Is marriage. Marriage. And God ordained it. You ought to make sure you put more time into the first thing that God ordained than anything you do. You hear me and you hear me well. They don't make the church. That can ruin my marriage. Amen. Now you say, why did you say such a derogatory thing? Because a lot of people overweigh their marriage with all kinds of things. I'm glad that you love to come to church, and I'm glad that you're here tonight. And the truth is, to be here on a Sunday night makes you a very special one, because not too many people in America go more than a Sunday a week. But I would say if you overbalance yourself and do more for maybe the buses, or do more for maybe other ministers of the church than you do your own marriage, you make sure your marriage is number one. Amen. But when it comes time to be faithful, you make sure your family is more faithful to church than any other thing in the world. Amen. Make sure your job's not number one. That's way on down the line. Make sure all the outside attractions. So many parents, when they have children, they want to do things for their children, and that's fine, and that's good, but the Pee Wee Ball League shouldn't take precedence over the church. Amen. We are cursing our nation by being so active outside the church. Make sure you're active in the church. You say, my family won't understand. Well, that's okay. God does. God does. Did you notice the four things that God said? There are five things. He used the word perfect. What is perfection? Perfection sometimes means suffering, according to the Bible. Perfection sometimes means affliction sometimes. But I will say this, God never starts anything and fails at it. Amen. So if God tells us that we're to live and have Him to perfect our life, then we ought to be at it where we hear things that help perfect our life. The preaching perfects our life. The Word of God perfects our life. Learning about the things of God in our life, it perfects us. And then he used the word establish. What is establishment? It means to be grounded. It means to be rooted. It means to be mature. It means to be progressing. It means to be fixed. When things come up in your life, are you established in the Lord? Too many Christians are too sensitive. When I mean that, you're too easily offended to get out of church. Amen. somebody says something or suggests something, or maybe the pastor gives you counsel, or maybe the rules. I found one thing out. Christians don't like rules. You just want to make a Christian mad, just talk about rules. They get mad. But rules are good for us. Amen. They're good for us. Don't run from the things that help you and establish you. And then he said that he wants to strengthen. That word strengthen is a word like an armor, like the Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter 6 about that armor, the sword, the shield, the helmet, the breastplate, the loins, the feet. And then the last of that body of armor, he talks about in Ephesians 6:18, pray always for all saints. Amen. Around here, that's a pretty big prayer list, wouldn't you say? Amen. How long is your prayer list? Well, if it's not this many, it's not long enough. Because God didn't say pray for some. He said pray for all. Pray for all. How many people do you know that are saved? God said pray for all those saints. That's a tough prayer list. That's a tough prayer request. Amen. It makes you pray more than you do in your spare time doing other things. And then he said to settle you. To settle you. What does that mean? It means that you believe in something that makes you stand for the truth. Been a lot of times where we're offered to compromise, but you got to stay with it. Amen. Aren't you glad you have a pastor that stands for something? Amen. Doctrine does a lot of things. A lot of preachers don't preach on doctrine because it divides. Now you're getting the picture. It divides you from the world and brings you closer to the Lord. Doctrine is something that makes this Bible true. Something you're supposed to, the Bible said, to pass down to the next generation and to your children. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. It'll take all year to do that. I was so humbled this week. I was at Mom and Dad's house. And on my back table is that iBible. And for Christmas, about 3 years ago, I gave my mother and my father and all of my family an iBible for Christmas. You can get them socks and shoes if you want and meet their need that way, but I like to give them the Word of God. Amen. I like to do that. And they love new Bibles. I like to get them with thumb indexes and all kinds of pretty leather for the girls and all of that stuff. I just love doing that kind of stuff. But my father came to me, and I was doing my devotions one morning, and I looked inside, and about 5 o'clock in the morning, my dad was up with those things in his ear, those earphones in his ear. And after a while, after he was through, I said, Dad, I didn't know you still had that iBible. He said, oh, yeah. He said, man, he said, I use it all the time. He said, as a matter of fact, before I had it, I could only read my Bible through once a year. Now that I have it for the last 3 years, I have watched and listened and heard as I read with this machine 6 times a year. 6 times a year. Now, my dad is going on 80 years of age. He's still growing in grace. Amen. By the way, before he retired from the church bus ministry, he spent 50 years driving the same bus route. Amen. We get mad if we're asked to take a year or 2 years, or we get despondent in what we're supposed to do. But God said to settle yourself. Amen. Just decide I'm going to settle to do what's right in my life. Not only is life measured, a good life is measured. But number 2, the Bible tells us that life is a pilgrimage. You ought to get yourself in a pilgrimage for the Lord. Start yourself on a journey. And by the way, most of you are here tonight because somebody helped you along in the journey. You had a good mother, a good father, or you had a good preacher, or some good Sunday school teacher. They're the reason why you sat in these pews tonight. You didn't make it by yourself. Somebody helped you get started in the journey. Let me read a verse to you. The Bible said in Psalm 119:54, the Bible said, thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Let me read it again, Psalm 119:54. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. You know why some people can sing and others not? They're not on the right journey. God wants you to get in the right journey. Years ago, and I mean years ago, when I was right out of Bible college, Dr. Board called me and said, you know, my health is failing. I'm having a series of heart attacks. And he said, I'd like for you to come and take Mount Salem Revival Grounds. He said, I'll work with you. He said, just come. I was scared to work for Moses. It's bad enough to have Moses around, amen. And I mean, he knew more about his little thumbnail than I did in my whole body. But he asked me to come. And I said, Brother Board, give it to Brother Hiles or give it to somebody that you know. I'm just a young preacher. Don't ask me to do this. I've got all I know to do, and I'm in evangelism. At that time, I had a large crew with me, and somebody that ran the children's service and somebody that ran the teenage service and had a tent and all of those kind of things. We'd pull into the church parking lot. We looked like a gypsy caravan coming in, and we'd take up all the slots in the church parking lot most of the time. But we'd have two-week tent revivals and then 1 week off of the tent revivals to set up the next 2 weeks. And that's what we did. And I took the old Oliver B. Green route, and I would preach to the Christians first week, and I never would mention the lost. And the next week I would preach to the lost and never mention the Christian. And sometimes we'd have 200 and 300 saved in a two-week period. I wonder where those days have gone and why we're so backslidden on those kinds of revivals. Amen. But I remembered Dr. Ward had a very serious heart attack. And his wife called me, Miss Edith Boyd. And she said, Randy, have you listened to what my husband has asked you to do? I said, I've listened. But I said, I don't know if God wants me in West Virginia. I said, I'm a Texan. I'm a flatlander. I said, I don't know if I can make it in West Virginia. And she said, I wish you'd pray about it. That's all my husband talks about is to have your help. And he wants you to pray about it. I went to my wife. I thought she would frown upon it. I thought maybe there'd be some kind of distance to the thought. But I said, sweetheart, I believe God's calling us to West Virginia. And to my surprise, immediately she said, okay, that's fine. Whatever God wants. While we were in our automobiles moving to West Virginia, I looked at my wife scared. Sometimes the best decisions are when you're just flat out scared to death. Amen. I was so scared leaving, oh, wonderful Texas. Amen. I'm still a Southerner, just below the Mason-Dixon, Southern born and Southern bred. When I die, I'll be Southern dead. Amen. But I looked at my wife just barely in the journey, and I looked at her and I said, sweetheart, I'm either losing my mind, and I meant this with all my heart. I said, I'm either losing my mind or God has something special in my life. I cannot begin to tell you the hundreds and thousands of people that have been saved since I left on this journey. Amen. I don't go anywhere in the world. I get letters every week of my life. I can show you dozens and dozens and dozens of letters of men in the ministry that walked down the aisles at Mount Salem Revival Grounds and surrendered their life at a young age, went to Bible college, got married. Now they're preaching. I spend sometimes half of my year just going and dedicating buildings of the preacher boys that the Lord has allowed us to have in the ministry. I don't go anywhere on the foreign field. I don't visit the foreign field that there's not 2 and 3 people on a row of families coming up and telling me it all started at the altars of one of your revival meetings or at the Mount Saint Revival Ground. I'm not here to brag. That's not why I said what I said. I'm here to challenge every one of us. Get yourself on a pilgrimage. Start now. It makes no difference how young or old you are. Just start your journey and make that journey the rest of your days for God. And God will bless it. He'll bless you in ways I cannot do. He'll bless you in ways your pastor could never dream. He'll use you in ways that nobody's ever thought about being used. I'm telling you, God is just waiting for you to get on your pilgrimage for Him. Let me give you the last thing. You still with me? I want to ask a question. Like the title of my sermon was a question. Let me end with one. And that is, what do you want God to do for you this year? What do you want God to do for you? Would you ask Him that? Would you ask God if He has something for you? Sincerely, could you spend time in prayer every day of your life begging God for something that He wants from you. I know what you say. Well, I pray for God's will every day, and I pray this and I pray that. But sometimes, my friend, you'll pray and be in heaven before that prayer is answered. Because we live by faith. We pray in faith. So I wrote a few things down tonight that I want God to do for me this year. Number one, I want God to complete His purpose in my life this year. I don't know what it is. I'm glad I don't know what it is. I just want to be surrendered for the purpose He has. I don't know how hard it will be. I don't know how long it will be. I don't know if I'll make it to next year. But I know one thing. I want every breath of my life to be for God. I want everything, as they sang tonight in the special, to be yielded to God. Everything. Everything. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if we're not that serious, then we'll never see things happen in our life for God. It'll all be centered around what we think our life is. But when you surrender to God, it's amazing to see what God can do. It's amazing to see what God will do. The second thing I want God to do is I want to be thankful for every mercy and blessing in my life. Every day is a mercy day. Whatever man needs in the world is mercy. And we sure have an abundance of it, don't we? And every blessing. My dad tells me all the time, Randy, if you found a red penny on the street, you'd thank God for it. I said, well, amen, praise the Lord. I want to be thankful for every blessing. I can count blessings, but it would take me a long, long time. I wish you could see what God has done just in the last year. I wish you could see how God has blessed just in the last year. And it takes me a while just to get through thanking God for the blessings. I like that old song, Count Your Blessings. Amen. Name them one by one. A third thing I want to make sure is that I want to allow God to help me to build a greater ministry for Him. We're not done building things for God. Amen. You're not done building for the Lord. I'm not talking about buildings. If that's what comes in the picture, then that's fine. But I'm talking about just building lives and building great ministries for the Lord to reach more people. Everything we do ought to be tied to soul winning. Amen. And Bible preaching. We've left Bible preaching out of everything. We've left soul winning out of everything. And that's why we're dead in America. But to stay on fire is to thank God for the blessings and mercy. And then I want God's approval. I want God's approval. I don't need man's approval. I don't need man's permission to preach. I need God's permission. I don't need man's permission to tell somebody else how to go to heaven. I've already got God's permission. But when it comes to the things I do, I want God's approval on it. I want folks to know that God's hand is upon the things we do. Now, God's people ought to be in that kind of mode in your life. Everything you do, you ought to want God's approval. And then the last thing, and that is this, I want to have the grace to be kind in every circumstance. Not easy to be kind. I have a lot of enemies. For the way your preacher preaches, he has enemies. For the way you live for God, you have enemies. You don't have any, just carry your Bible out in public. You'll have one in about 5 minutes. Amen. Crowded on the elevator, pull out the Bible, they'll all get off. Crowded at the city park, can't get your kids on the merry-go-round, pull out your Bible, you'll have the whole park to yourself. There are Bible haters out there. There are church haters out there. There are God haters out there. And you're going to have to determine, my friend, no matter what, that circumstance that you're in, you need to be kind in. The Bible said in Ephesians 4 and verse 32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. Listen, forgiving one another. Listen, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It's not easy to be kind. It is the hardest thing you'll ever have to do. Amen. Especially in the big cities. I'm from the country. And when I drive in the big city, I get scared and then I get mad. And then I understand what they mean, road rage. I want to say, "Ha!" And then I said, "Oh, I'm a preacher. I can't do that." Amen. Now let's be careful. Amen. In the way that we live. Close your Bibles and look this way. If this were the last year that you could live, are you listening to me? If this were the last year you could live, how would you live it? Nations have ended within years, a single year. Dispensations have ended within year, a single year. Opportunities end. Life ends. If you had 1 year to live, how would you live it? 1 year I lost a brother and a sister, all within a 6 month span of the same year. This year, God gave us 2 granddaughters, all in the month of December. This year, I had a cousin, a good close cousin by the name of David Walden. He died so prematurely. My Uncle Johnny died. My Aunt Helen is clinging on to life now. I could probably name you another 15 people that I know, very dear to me, that passed away this past year. Mount Salem Revival Grounds will have its 40th anniversary. 40 years. Hardly anything lasts for 40 years anymore. When I'm talking about things that are true to the Bible without changing. On December 26, 10 years ago, 2004, a tsunami killed 230,000 people in Thailand. All in one day. That Malaysian plane came up missing last year. They still hadn't found it. Terrorist bloody violence have killed thousands and thousands and thousands. Ebola. 8,000 people dead because of it. We just don't know what's going to come. But I promise you this. By God's grace, I'll make it this year till next, if you will. If you want to make a good resolution, you promise God that you're going to be faithful every day till the next year. And you do it the way we talked about tonight, and I can promise you this, you'll be saying a whole lot of amens and praise the Lord's, and glory to God's. You'll have a lot to be thankful for. In evangelism, it's a lonely journey. You don't have a lot of people around you. You're by yourself most of the time. But I can tell you this, it's something that I have no regrets. Something that I can thank God for the rest of my days. If you'd have told me 40 years ago I'd be here tonight, as a 17-year-old boy surrendering to evangelism and to preach the gospel the same night, if you'd have told me 40 years ago I'd be here, I'd have called you crazy. I'd have laughed out loud at you. I'd have thought you were crazy. But look what God has done for me. If we'll just decide, we're going to be like an old pit bulldog and just do what God tells us to do. Dr. Wendell Evans, my college vice president, used to say, "Tie a knot at the end of the rope and hang on." And then he used to say, "Give your best and hang the rest." Amen. That's all you can do. But do it. By God's grace, do it. Let's stand, please, and bow our heads. Thank you again for this wonderful privilege to be here tonight. Thank you for your love and concern for Christ. You are a wonderful, strong church. You have a great leader and leaders. You're well respected. You're thought of. You're prayed for. So I would ask you to be faithful and keep doing what you're doing. If God could help you be here on Sunday night, God will help you next Sunday night, and the next Sunday night, and the next Sunday night, until we meet at the last Sunday, He'll help you. I wonder tonight how many would say, left standing, Brother Taylor, God spoke to my heart tonight. I want a measured year, something that I could calculate for the Lord, something that I could give God credit for at the end of this year. My hand is raised. How about yours? Yes, and God bless you. Thank you so much. You can put your hands down. How many tonight not only would want a measured year, but you would say tonight, I want a year that is a journey for me, one that I don't want to get out of, one that I want to stay faithful to, and stay on that pilgrimage for the Lord, put God first. My hand is raised. How about yours? Yes, and God bless you. And then how many would say, Brother Taylor, I want God to do something in my life. I want God to show me what He wants me to do, and I want to do it. I want to keep asking God what it is that He has for me. My hand is raised. How about yours? Yes. If your hand has been raised, I want you to leave where you are before the devil talks you out of a blessing. And I want you to come down here on the very first Sunday of 2015 and tell God what you raised your hand about. He already knows it. And He knows what you mean in your heart. But you come and ask Him for help, would you? You come and ask Him for His diligence and grace to be accomplished in your life. Ask Him for His character. Ask Him for His love. Ask Him for His mercy. Ask Him for His gratitude. I like your theme this year, gratitude, attitude. I like it. A measured life, a calculated life. Plan your life this year. Plan something for God this year. And give it all you got. Give it all you got. You say, Brother Taylor, you don't understand. I've been busy doing something for God for 50 years, for 30 years, for 20 years. Well, that's the kind of people I'm trying to get tonight. Thank God for you. But God, help us to be faithful to Him. Thank you. You pray for us as we go down the road, and we'll be careful to pray for you.